Good morning, everyone. I'll be talking about the HIV care continuum for the state of Georgia. And with that, I found this slide really funny. The outline of my presentation is giving an overview of the HIV statistics for the state of Georgia, defining and describing the HIV care continuum methodology that we use for our state, describing the care continuum for persons living with as well as new diagnosis, and discussing the HIV care continuum by demographic characteristics and transmission category. Here's a slide that depicts the epidemic of HIV infection in the state of Georgia. If you follow me, the y-axis to your left depicts the number of new HIV infections, AIDS diagnosis, late testers, and AIDS deaths. To your right, you have persons living with HIV infection. If you look at the bars from 2005 to 2011, the number of cases of persons living with increased from 33,000 to about 48,000 in 2011. That's an increase of 45%. If you look at the line right on top, it depicts the new HIV infections from 2005 to 2011. Okay. Is that better? Yes. If you look at basically new HIV infections right on top, from 2005 to 2011, the number of cases that we have in 2011 is around 3,000. That's almost a 7.5% increase from 2010. Looking at stage 3 age, which is basically the purple line, second to the new HIV infections line, as you can see, in 1995, we have over 2,000 cases of stage 3, and with the advent of antiretroviral therapy, the number of cases have definitely reduced, but we still do see a large proportion of cases of stage 3 AIDS cases, having around 1,400 cases in the year 2011. At the green line, you have the late testers of HIV infection. Late testers was defined as persons diagnosed with stage 3 AIDS within 1 year of HIV diagnosis. For the year 2011, we had 58% of the new HIV infections comprising of late testers. So we definitely have to improve and do a great job in early testing. Looking at AIDS deaths, the AIDS deaths have definitely decreased from 1995 from 1,500, and the new number is around 300 cases. The reason I'm trying to describe the HIV epidemic in the state of Georgia is because we rank sixth highest in the nation for persons living with HIV diagnosis and fifth highest in the nation for new diagnosis. And in spite of the advent of antiretroviral therapy and testing being there, we still have a number of cases that are being diagnosed with AIDS, a lot of late testers as well. And I want to link this to the HIV care continuum, which of course Laurie explained regarding the National HIV AIDS Strategy. One of the goals is to reduce new HIV infections. So what is the HIV care continuum? HIV care continuum is defined as a graphical representation of the measures of care of persons affected with HIV. Let's take a look at the methodology that we used in the state of Georgia. For persons living with HIV infection for the year 2011, we included adults and adolescents greater than 13 years of age, diagnosed by September 30, 2011. We also included those people who are missing race, sex, or transmission category, living as of 12/31, 2012, having a current address within Georgia so that we could have access to their laboratory reports. And we defined one of the measures engaged in care as at least one CD4 viral load in the year 2012, retained in care as at least two CD4 viral loads at least 3 months apart in 2012. Viral suppression is, of course, less than 200 copies per ml in the most recent viral load. All percentages are percent of total number of persons diagnosed with HIV, so when you look at an HIV care continuum graph, each bar is independent of the other. There's no gold standard of defining or analyzing the measures of care. So these are basically measures or measurements or analysis that we felt best suited for the state of Georgia. Let's take a look at the care continuum now for the state of Georgia. The bar to your extreme left, 100%, represents the total number of cases that were diagnosed in the state of Georgia. We assume that as to be 100% representative of the cases of HIV infection, living, and diagnosed. 54% is the number of people minimally engaged in care, 38% retained in care, and 39% virally suppressed. So we still have a long way to go. Let's take a look of it. Look at it by gender. The proportion of male cases is 3/4 as compared to basically females. If you look at the measures, they're almost similar in both the groups, but we have to take a note the number of proportion of cases in the females is much less as compared to males. Taking a look at it by race and ethnicity, we find that the black population, we have a maximum burden of the disease among blacks in Georgia, although they form a smaller percentage of cases in the general population. 36% are only virally suppressed, so they are least virally suppressed, and the group that's most engaged in care is the other or unknown category. We have a large proportion of cases where the race is basically not identified. The other includes American Indian, Alaskan natives, we have Native Hawaiians, and they just comprise of less than 2% of the Georgia population. So even though we kind of say that, okay, the other unknown group is most engaged in care, we really don't know what those populations are. And that drives home the point that it's so necessary to have complete reporting in order to understand disparities in care. Taking a look at the care continuum for persons living with HIV infection by age groups, if you look at the care continuums, you'll find that the proportions for viral suppression increase steadily from 13 to 24 age group up to 45 to 54 at 42%. And then suddenly you have a decrease in viral suppression at 40%. Also for the age group of 13 to 24, you find that they are basically most minimally engaged in care as compared to other age groups. Looking at it by transmission categories, the group that basically is least widely suppressed is the ID group. The most engaged in care is the MSM group. But if you look at the other group, it includes a lot of proportion of cases which have a missing transmission category. They are, again, engaged in care at 55%, and widely suppressed at 42%. We've used multiple imputation methods here to assign a known risk category to those cases who had a missing risk category, but that really doesn't eliminate the problem completely. It still leaves a number of cases behind with an unknown risk category. So again, you're just driving home the point that we really need complete reporting to get a good idea about the care disparities in the population. Here's the care continuum among females by transmission category. Again, the other group is least virally suppressed at 31%. The group that basically is most engaged in care is the heterosexual group at 57%. Let's take a look at the Georgia care continuum methodology for the new diagnosis of HIV. We started name-based HIV reporting in December 31st, 2003, so it almost took us a year to kind of catch up for HIV not AIDS cases. So we felt that finding linkage to care for persons living with HIV would be really difficult for us because we really would have a lot of lab reports that were incomplete. But we really wanted to know what does it look like for the new diagnosis. So having a snapshot of the care continuum for new diagnosis would really help us understand what's really happening. It will also help us to monitor trends for new diagnosis every year. So let's take a look at what methodology we use for new diagnosis of HIV. We again looked at adults and adolescents aged greater than 13 years of age, diagnosed between January 1st, 2011 to December 31st, 2011, alive at least 15 months after diagnosis, because if we find that a person is diagnosed in December 2011, we almost wanted to follow up that person for at least a period of 15 months to understand all those care measures. We wanted to have the residence and diagnosis as well as current address in Georgia because we wanted to have access to their laboratory reports. We excluded 52 persons deceased within 15 months of diagnosis. Linkage to care was defined as a CD4 viral load within 3 months of diagnosis, excluding the date of diagnosis. Engaged in care was the same as persons living with, as well as retained in care and viral suppression. All percentages are percent of total number of persons diagnosed with HIV, so the bars that you see in the HIV care continuum is independent of each other. So let's look at it with more clarification. Say that's the red dot kind of represents a confirmatory diagnosis date. A person basically gets a CD4 viral load within 3 months after diagnosis, then gets basically another CD4 viral load in that 4 to 15 month period, and gets another one again at around, say, 12 months. And the last test that they did was a viral load, which was less than 200 copies per ml. So what would you say about this person? Was this person linked to care? Was this person engaged, retained, or virally suppressed? And the answer for that is yes to all. So keeping that in mind, let's take a look at the care continuums for new diagnosis. As you can see, all the measures are much higher than that you find for the persons living with. 62% of them are linked to care, 66% are engaged in care, 46% retained in care, and 45% viral suppression. Since each bar is independent of the other, it's very likely that engaged in care looks very different from retained in care, or vice versa with the linkage to care. Looking at it by gender, it's almost similar for males as well as females. In fact, viral suppression is slightly higher for females. Again, for newly diagnosed, we have higher proportion of cases among males as compared to females. We have that 3/4, 1/4 distribution. Looking at it by race, we have the black population not doing so well for viral suppression at 38%. We find the Hispanic population, in fact, is much more highly linked to care. They have basically viral suppression at a better proportion as compared to other races. And this could be because they're probably more sick than the other populations, because stage of the disease also matters in case of care continuum. It's one of the confounders. I'm going to quickly run through, because I've got that 5-minute kind of hand. Looking at basically age groups, again, viral suppression increases from 13 to 24 to 45 to 54. For transmission category, again, the black, the MSM population is least virally suppressed at 39% among males. For females, we find that the population that basically is least widely suppressed is the other category, which again doesn't tell us, give us any real information because the transmission category is missing in that particular area. So how does the HIV care continuum help us? It helps us focus our efforts for linkage, retention, and viral suppression, identify groups that increase risk for dropping out of each step in the continuum, monitor our progress in improving linkage, identifying disparities in care, evaluate efforts in addressing specific populations with low viral suppression, monitoring efforts in improving viral suppression by geographic areas, whether we could do the care continuums by city, by district, by zip code, and it would help us focus our efforts in that direction. Or also helps us to encourage, it encourages us to improve our surveillance data because we have so much of missing information on race, gender, transmission categories that definitely drives home the point that with complete reporting, we can get a better idea on the disparities in the HIV care. So what were our limitations? Definitely incomplete reporting is the first factor. We had missing data for race, ethnicity, sex, as well as current address, lack of transmission category information. Multiple imputation was used to redistribute risk, but still it doesn't completely solve the problem. Definition of heterosexual transmission is also very tight. We kind of include only those people who had who said that they had sexual contact with a person at high risk for HIV. If they had no information on that, they were included in the NIR or the NIR category or the transmission category, which is unknown. We had a lot of missing laboratory reports, and this could be because of inadequate reporting. It could be because of inadequate processing. Laboratory measures could be a poor proxy in the sense a person may come and get his CD4 viral load done, but that could be a non-HIV-related hospitalization. And that basically turns out to be a poor proxy for HIV care. Also for people who are incarcerated, they might have got a CD4 viral load done while they were basically incarcerated, but once they get released, they're really not linked to care. So that's not really being in an HIV outpatient care facility. So these are some of the limitations for the care continuum for Georgia. We are looking at it in different ways and also incorporating stage of disease to see how it really affects the care continuum. That's about it. Thank you. No, we don't have any information on that, but that's a really good point. We do have another project in our department called the Medical Monitoring Project, which kind of gives us more detailed information on cases, although the sample size is much less in these populations, and that's one of the areas that we are trying to kind of look at, not just look at our surveillance data, but also link those cases if they are involved in the MMP project to kind of look at these kind of differences. But that's a really good question. Thank you. Yes. Well, the amount of information that we have in our surveillance data is based on diagnosis date. We really don't have It could be that they basically got tested earlier, but they were basically reported to the health department and they gave us a diagnosis date that was at that time. They could have been diagnosed earlier as well. So it's one of the limitations of the surveillance system, the reporting delays that are associated with basically cases. And we felt that basically, considering that the recommendations these days are that CD4 and viral load basically before they start on antiretroviral therapy should be done every 3 to 4 months, we try to align it to that and try to define linkage to care as within 3 months of their diagnosis date. No, you're right about it, because it's not necessarily that everybody would get a CD4 or a viral load within 3 months of their diagnosis date. It depends on the discretion of the physician as well as the person, and the fact that they're trying to deal with their diagnosis, the stigma that's associated with the disease. That's definitely one of our limitations in this, but this is about the extent that we can basically use our data in kind of estimating linkage to care. Probably it could be a underrepresentation. Yes. Yes. We have not adjusted basically for reporting delays. We have not basically really kind of looked into that, but that is something that probably will kind of incorporate in, as we advance in the care continuums for state of Georgia.